Let's pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message because we wouldn't want to waste your time and mine as well. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today concerning part of our life that we commit to you. And I ask that you would bless the message today, that it might be not only informative but revealing. In Jesus' name, amen. The session and the elders have been looking at possibilities and concerns in the business of the church, et cetera, in terms of money. And one of the things that really needs to happen is I need to raise your awareness concerning the building fund. I think probably about 75 of you weren't here 2 years ago when we started a new 3-year campaign in terms of the building fund. So you need to be at least aware of that. We have a minimum payment on our loan of $1.2 million or whatever it is of $7,300 a month. For the last 2 years, we've been doing $10,000 a month just to work on it. Last month, we had to go back to $7,300 because our giving wasn't up there to get $10,000 into it. And this was a concern, and so I'm raising that up to you, okay? That's just one of the things, and all you have to do is mark a building fund. The other second thing that they've been talking about is, I don't know if you've noticed, but especially the east parking lot, but also this one over here, is turning to gravel. And we can piecemeal it, but we can't really get another loan. Since we have such a big one anyway, but it's going to cost about $75,000, give or take. I don't know all the particulars, but we would like to get that done in the next year if possible. There's a third thing that they are working on or thinking about, and that has to do with the possibility of staff enhancement around here, since we are a growing church, and look at staffing. And that will require that we stretch ourselves in terms of our giving. And so one of the things that I'm raising up today is looking at what we can do if we stretch ourselves. but that's really not the message for today. I've been here about 15 years, and we've had to struggle with our finances during that period of time. When we moved over here in 2009, we had to do some real struggling in it, but we never missed a meal, and so I know that. We're a church like most households, actually. We live from paycheck to paycheck, or should I say from Sunday to Sunday, so I'm really not concerned about our finances because really in terms of our general fund giving, we're not in any kind of problem at all. But part of it is also if we want to do anything in terms of enhancing the ministry we have around here, we may have to do some things. So we're really kind of where we are is where we are in terms of us. So I'm not here to pound you about giving or anything because I'm really not a fundraiser, never have been. So having said that, let me also say that God is not really measuring his commitment to you either on the basis of your personal giving, and that for some of us is probably a good thing. You know, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're in. It's not a matter of your giving or anything else. It's a matter of accepting the love of God that comes to you in repentance for your sin, and it's a matter of receiving Jesus as Savior only. That makes God make a commitment to you. Now, having said that, I also need to say that even though God is not measuring his commitment to us, any of us, on the basis of our giving, each of us possibly is measuring the amount of release of what we may know about God by our giving. Today I want to talk to you about the tithing principle, which is one of the what I call believer basics. It has to do with our personal giving, and it has nothing to do really with the financial needs of this church or any church for that matter or any ministry. It has to do with the release of God's blessing and revelation in our lives personally. Now, God has established a principle of giving for his people, and it is called the tithe. The tithe is giving of the first 10% of income. The tithe is the principle that God sets forth concerning giving, and each of us chooses whether we're going to follow that principle or not. It's set forth as a principle of giving. Now, it is a learned principle. You know, in terms of believer basics, there are about five or six different things that are basics to the Christian faith. You know, learning how to be in prayer, and not just petition prayer, but intercessory prayer. Serving the Lord Jesus in various ways in terms of ministries and ministries that he gives us personally. Worship is a basic principle of the Christian life. Showing up and assembling ourselves and lifting our hearts to God. Study, individual study of the Bible, getting involved in Bible studies and things like that. And then giving is also a believer basic. Now, today I just want to give a personal testimony about giving before we look at this scripture in Malachi. But I think it may be appropriate at this time for some of us. As I said, it's really been about 75 of you ago before I ever talked about anything like this. So I want to just talk to you today about some of this stuff. Those of you, or those of us, who really want to be followers of Jesus and say that we want him as our Lord of our lives and not just receive him as Savior, then this is for you. Those who choose their own way of life, and you probably are going to be wasting your time this morning, especially if you've already set in your heart what you are going to give to God and don't care what he calls you in terms of your life. But I want to give a little personal testimony. When I was a kid, I started getting an allowance from my parents. My parents taught me the principle of tithing. That is giving 10% of what I received in terms of money. When I first got an allowance, it was $1, and my parents would give me 10 dimes. Now, that's when a dollar was worth something. Because it was many, many years ago in a galaxy far, far away. But I got a dollar. I mean, it might be $10 today for all I know. I was to give 10 cents, and my parents would lay the money out in front of me, and they'd show me, this is what you give to God. They talked to me about giving and the principle of what God calls us to give. Now, I basically followed that principle in terms of my childhood up through high school, mainly because I was living at home, and it was just part of our lifestyle. My first couple of years of college, I began to slip some in this discipline. I was all right during the summer when I was home, but during the school year, I didn't practice any kind of giving. In fact, I don't remember going to church either, except during the summer. So therefore, it's very difficult to give anything if you don't show up. My first 2 years of college were like that. My last 2 years of college, my giving quit completely. And even when I received a call to ministry and I began to get involved in going towards ministry, I had put the principle of tithing on the back shelf someplace. Well, I went to seminary, and I didn't tithe during that time either. I gave a little to the churches that I worked in, but not much. When I became an associate pastor for 3 years in East Tennessee, I gave some, but I did not tithe. I don't remember thinking much about it at all, but I know that I didn't give much to the church. When I got a call to go to a church in Western Kentucky and to be the head pastor of this church, I guess I kind of grew up a little in terms of my giving. Actually, I think I went back to my childhood practices. I figured it was if I was going to be the leader or the pastor of the church, I needed to lead by example, even though it wouldn't be common knowledge. It's kind of like a long time ago, I gave a series of sermons on fasting. I figured if I was going to do it, I better do a fast so I know what I was talking about. So the same way with my giving. So I went there, and I returned to tithing, 10% of income. I figured if I was going to talk to the people about it on occasion, then I better know what I'm talking about, and I better not just talk, but lead by example. Now, I didn't think much about it in terms of God's principle of giving. I thought about it mainly the way most of us think about giving. It's something that comes along every year, usually in the fall in the church, and we have to deal with it somehow. So I returned to tithing when I moved to Western Kentucky. Now, during the 23 years that I was there, I gave probably $100,000 plus during that 23 years. I don't know how much I gave to other places, but I did give to other things as well. And you know what? I never missed a meal. I didn't drive a Cadillac, but I got around. In fact, I'm getting around these days, too. On that motorized wheelchair out there. So it's round, round, get around, I get around. Anyway, I started doing that back in Western Kentucky. Tithing is a principle for living, and I have followed it most of my life, and even when I didn't, I at least knew about it because my parents taught me the principle. Now, having said that, I want to instruct some of you, those of you who have become children of God under my guidance, tithing is a principle for your giving. As I said, this teaching has nothing to do with the needs of this church. It just kind of got raised up to me in terms of my consciousness because, well, we're dealing with a few things, but we're not hurting. Tithing is the principle for your giving, and it's not easy. First, when you start to tithe, it will be a tremendous sacrifice. And you will struggle with it. And you will have to be very intentional about doing it. You'll have to pay attention to your giving. Now, I've been doing it for about a third of a century now, so for me, it's no longer sacrifice, it's obedience. Now, obedience can be hard too, but it isn't the same as sacrifice. It's just something that I do because I am Jesus' man in this world. He is the Lord of my money. I'm just a steward of his money. I'm just a steward of my life, for that matter. Now, I printed in your bulletin the classic scripture for God's principle of tithing, and it comes to you from the only Italian in the Bible, Malachi. Chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. And I'd like for us to read just verses 7 to 9 first. Okay, here we go. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yeah, you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing thee? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now, there's a dialogue going on here between God and the people. God says, if you return to me, I will return to you. And the people say, wait a minute, how shall we return? Implying that they're not really that far away from God in the first place, and that they're really okay. And God says, will a man rob God? And you are robbing me. And they say, how? And God says, in your giving. When the Lord says, you rob me, what does God mean by saying that we can rob him? Well, this is what I think it means. I think we deprive him of the glory that is due his name. And that glory has to do with trusting him. It has to do with not giving him a chance to bless us and work in us. And we in reality rob God of glory more than money. I've got Psalm 96:8 printed in your bulletin. Let's read it together. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Give God the glory due his name. Bring an offering. That's what it says. You know, when we talk about money, we are really talking about life. Because time is money. Life is money. Our money is our life in many ways. It speaks to us about worth and everything that goes with it. Stewardship has to do with all your money and what you do with it, not what you give to church. It has to do with all your money and what you do with it, not just what you give to church. Stewardship has to do with what you keep and use as for yourself as well. If you want to know what is really important in your life, just take a good look at your checkbook for the past year. Now, God didn't need their money any more than he needs ours. God was telling them that the reason that their lives were such a mess was because they had so many things out of order in their lives. And one of the primary places where they were messed up was in how they used their money. And God said they were cursed. Well, the curse here is the consequences of living outside God's will and God's ways for our lives. That's what it is. And then you disregard the principles of living woven into the fabric of life itself. You don't think about things except in terms of yourself. The problem with these people, which is also the problem with a lot of us, was that they needed to learn how to give of themselves. And God was saying to them, and he says it to us, we need to give because ultimately the giver, that's you and me, we need to learn the greatest rule of life, which can be wrapped up in one sentence. When you give yourself away, you will always receive more life back. But we say, oh, I need to protect myself. I need to take care of myself. When you give, you will always discover new things that God wants to show you. When you give of yourself, you will always release new possibilities for yourself. We need to learn to let go, and the only way to learn it is to do it. We never save anything by trying to protect it. You know, the world runs backward and upside down. It is dyslexic in its own way. The world and most of us see everything backwards and with everything's upside down, but we don't think it is. Either that or I see everything backwards and so does Jesus. I've got two scriptures here, one in Matthew and one in Luke, and we'll just run them together here. These are the words of Jesus. Here we go. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And he said to them, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Let me ask you a question. Have you determined that your life consists in the abundance of your possessions? And all you can pile up. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Well, if that's so, let me ask you another question. If your life does not consist in the abundance of all your stuff, then what does it consist of? You know, I do funerals. I've done hundreds of them, I think, over the years. You know, and whenever they have a eulogy and some of the family members get up and they talk, they don't talk about the inheritance in terms of money. If they're really talking about that person's life, they always talk about how that life impacted them in terms of how they lived. Both good and bad. You see, the world views things backwards, and it's not until we come to focal points like death, that we really kind of get a handle on looking at things a little bit more clearly. The world views things backwards, but to many of us it seems like it is correct. We see dyslexic just like the world, and spiritually speaking. And the truth is, when you give, you receive. Okay, let's read verse 10. Just verse 10 of Malachi 3. Here we go. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Two things I want you to notice in that one verse. The first thing is that the Lord says, prove me. He says, put me to the test. Look, I want you to see what I am saying works. Put it to the test. Conduct an experiment. You know, I majored in chemistry in college, and we put a lot of things to the test in experiments. God says, put it to the test. Until you try it, you will never know the truth of the blessing of tithing. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples at the Last Supper about the principle of serving others, he said this. He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now, the blessing comes not because you know something, but because you do it. The second thing in this verse is, where do you tithe? Now, here in Malachi, it says, bring your full tithes into the storehouse. Now, at the risk of being misunderstood here, I'm going to tell you where the storehouse is. It's where you gather with the body of Christ. It's where you get fed spiritually. It's where church is. Now, over the years, I've done a lot of giving to other ministries as well, in many different settings. And those are all fine, but you know what? They're not the storehouse. Let's read all of Malachi 10 to 12 together. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Now I want to look at the promises that are given here that we can put the Lord to the test on. First, overflowing blessing. God says, if you will be obedient, I can open heaven and pour a blessing on you like rain on the field. It is an unleashing of God's possibilities to advance your life and advance the kingdom of heaven. It is the abundant life. Now, abundance has to do with having enough and having peace in the land of your life. Abundant thinking is also a blessing, as opposed to deprivation thinking. You know, when I came here 15 years ago and we were at Woodland Chapel over there, and you could fire a cannon through that sanctuary and kill a few, but you weren't going to kill many, I was dealing with a church that was dealing in deprivation thinking. Their thought patterns were, what do we need to do to survive? And one of the things that I spent my time doing was teaching the principle of abundant living. Not worrying about how am I going to survive, but what can we do for the Lord? And over the years, abundant thinking is what is the result of what's here. Abundant thinking. Or do you think deprivation thinking? How much do I have to hold on to it? The second promise from tithing is where God says, I will rebuke the devourer. This is the stripper locust that devours everything in its path. This is not a bug that comes along and eats a few leaves. God says, I will rebuke that which devours your life and rips you off God says, I will rebuke all those little things in life that come in so many numbers that you end up being stripped of your life. The third promise God makes concerning tithing is where God says, your vine in your field shall not fail to bear. Another way of saying this promise is, your life will not cast its fruit before its time. This is talking about things in our lives in which we want to be fruitful, but something happens before the fulfillment. It never matures correctly, and it falls off. Now, if I were to ask for examples, probably most of us could give examples where we are about to get on top of something, and things were fitting together, and just before things get settled, it fails. Then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and we think, why can't I ever turn the corner? And God says, I'll see to it that your vine does not cast its fruit before its time, so that you will not come to a fruitless end. With tithing comes the assurance that things will not abort short of fulfillment. These are promises that come with tithing. God says, test me. Now I want to finish this passage by reading verse 12 by itself again. Here we go. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Let me interpret this on an individual basis. If you tithe, then the people around you will call you blessed, because your life will be filled with fruitfulness and peace and blessing, and you are a person or people that people really like to be around. A person of delight. You know, that's a nice word. In fact, that's a great word. It's a beautiful word. It's upbeat. What do you delight in? You know, I delight in beautiful days. I delight in the belly laughs of little children. I delighted in my parents when I saw them living together. I have delighted in watching some of you when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, when you came off a great banquet weekend, and you weren't worried about what anybody thought. I delight in just thinking about some of you. You know, when I think of some of you, my heart is strangely warmed. You can interpret that any way you want. You know, I delight in people who are aglow with the Holy Spirit and tell me what the Lord is doing in their lives. Delight. I like that word. It's a great word. And the Lord says, when you tithe, people will delight in you. It's going to be a beautiful thing for you. So why does God want us to tithe? Well, He wants us to tithe so that people will delight in us, so that He can bless us and cause us to be fruitful. Why does God want us to tithe? So that the world around us can see the glory of God shine in us. Now, I have been tithing a good percentage of my life. And you know, I bear witness to the truth of the promises in this passage. I have been blessed. I have been fruitful. The devourer has been driven off a few times. And those who would destroy me and devour my life have been either destroyed or driven off. I also know that my life and my work has brought great delight to a good number of you. Is it because I decided to tithe when I, 35 years ago or whatever? I don't know, but based on this scripture, It at least makes it a possibility. Now, I have taught my flesh and blood kids to tithe. I don't know whether they do it or not. They're all of age. They can do what they want. But they have been taught. I have done that over the years. I have also teaching my spiritual children, those of you who have come to know the Lord Jesus under my ministry, learn and experience the truth. Be a tither, test God, and see if your life doesn't also experience the blessing of promises of God as shown in this scripture. As I said, I was a chemistry major in college. We learned to experiment. This is a test. I give it to you from where I live. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us concerning our lives and the stewardship of our lives, whether we're talking about the money that we give or whether we're talking about what we do in terms of service or the ways that we witness in our daily jobs and places that we live. Help us to be stewards of the life that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen.